Alt NPR.
Support for NPR podcasts comes from AT&T, the passion to invent, the drive to deliver. The new AT&T, your world delivered.
Welcome to another edition of What Would Rob Do?, the podcast that tackles life's most trying dilemmas. I'm Madeline Brand, and with me, of course, is the man with all the answers, Rob himself. Hi, Rob.
Hey, Madeline. How's it going?
Fine, thanks. So what topic are you going to demystify for us?
Well, this week's topic happens to hit right home for me because it's about overcoming an affliction that I, myself, have struggled with for years.
An affliction? That sounds serious.
Yes, it is serious. And I'm talking about clutter, also known as messiness, or as my mother says, clean up your room, chuck out your tchotchkes.
Is that how she talks, really?
Well, I imagine that's how she will talk in another 20 years. But anyway, it's a pretty bad problem.
You know, Rob, I have to agree with you. You do have a really bad problem. Your desk is, quite frankly, a nightmare.
Okay, see, so I'm still struggling with it. It's an active problem that I deal with on a daily basis. But I talked with a guy named Jonathan Martyr. He runs a company called Garage Specialists out here in Los Angeles. And what they do is they go to someone's house, they clean out their garage, they help them organize their life. He told me when you have so much going on your desk, it actually may mean being too focused on organizing.
An interesting thing about people who are clutterers, many of us look at them and think, gosh, this person's completely disorganized. In fact, many times it's the exact opposite. These are people who are in some ways over-organized. They're creating lists about the lists of things that they need to do and need to take care of.
It's like being too smart, you know, Madeline?
I know. That is a problem you struggle with.
Yeah, and I also attribute the clutter, maybe the messiness at my cubicle, to limitations of the cubicle itself. You know, I handle lots of important documents on my desk, Madeline. There's a lot of important things going on right in my very cubicle.
Okay, but maybe there is a small cry for help in these piles on piles and lists on lists. Would you at least admit that?
Okay, I can admit that. Sometimes I do get a little bit overloaded. And going back to what Jonathan was saying, sometimes you need to have a little bit of organization. Here's how he describes it.
What you need to really eliminate first is the pile aspect. I like to tell clients that we make aisles and not piles.
Aisles, not piles.
Aisles, not piles.
So you organize, you group things together. He also talks about something called a DDZ, or a dedicated dumping zone.
That's for like a DMZ?
Right, like a DMZ, like a demilitarized zone, which is probably apt for my cubicle. But he said, you know, that's for stuff that you don't have a place for yet, but you can just put it there and then you get back to it. So it's a good way to start things off.
Okay, so but aisles not of piles, I kind of don't get it. Shouldn't we just chuck all the stuff, throw it away?
Okay, well, that's the other step is, you know, making the piles, but then also figuring out what you need just to eliminate, throw out. But for clutterers like myself, that's something very tough because I don't know if you know this, Madeline, but we clutterers are very sentimental people. Every piece of paper holds some deep meaning. It's a part of our life. And throwing it away is like throwing away our soul. It's really tricky. But like I said, I'm on the road to recovery.
Wait a minute. You're saying that old PR photo of some lame band is part of your soul?
Well, in some way, maybe it reminds me of the day, you know, I thought I opened up the letter and I had just this really amazing thought about working at NPR. And I was like, that's
yeah,
such
right.
a great memory I need to keep. So, you know, I've tried one method of making myself less sensitive because I figure I'm too sensitive a person. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I try like self-flagellation, you know, but that's icky and that's also hard to
do. And messy as well.
And messy. I also try just being insensitive as a person. You know, I let my manners slip a little, you know, forget to floss or don't wash my clothes or, you know, but I still was sensitive to my clutter problem. That didn't really fix things.
All right. So does this Jonathan Martyr advocate some method of desensitizing yourself so you can be less sentimental about your clutter?
Actually, he goes the whole other way. He says, what you need to do is reach out to humanity and ask for help. And I was intrigued by this proposition. Maybe, you know, there needs to be a clutter intervention.
Well, actually, one of the best things one can do to get a project started is to encourage what we kind of call, you know, a clutter friend or a clutter pal.
I think a better name might be a clutter buddy.
A clutter buddy. Have you found your clutter buddy?
Well, Madeline, I do have a clutter buddy, but this person wasn't really a volunteer for the service. She was kind of conscripted into it. And I'm talking, of course, of my wife, Anna. She's been great, and she's been doing everything. We make DD zones in various parts of our apartment, and we're making some headway. But I found out, Madeline, that sometimes I get a little resentful when she's throwing away all my old T-shirts, but then she gets to keep her old sweatshirts in the drawers, and it doesn't feel good. Fortunately, though, Jonathan Marter, garage specialist, seems to have a solution for everything, and he told me some good advice about this problem of feeling like there's inequity.
Now, it may sound brutal, but you need to do hers, and she needs to do yours.
So, see how
ouch,
it works?
Ouch. I don't know. I'd have to disagree with old Jonathan on that point. That
tough
is
love.
A recipe for future marital spats.
Well, we've only come up on our one-year anniversary, so I don't know. But we've been trying out this method, and so far, Madeline, let me tell you, it's very, very therapeutic. You know, I found out that pretty much the only thing that makes me feel good when she throws out my lava lamp is getting to chuck out her mounds of throw pillows that I suddenly found that I inherited, you know, once we got married. So it can be fun.
Hey, speaking as a woman, don't touch the throw pillows. They're very important.
All right. Well, it seems to be working so far, so good.
Well, I think that'll do it. And hey, Rob, thanks for decluttering our brains with this podcast.
It's my pleasure, Madeline.
Thanks for listening to another edition of What Would Rob Do? A Guide to Life's Most Trying Dilemmas. I'm Madeline Brand.
And I'm Rob Sachs.
All.